a complete breakdown of University of Tennessee athletics from former UT coach Doug Matthews. This is Big Orange Sunday, presented by Delta Dental, online at deltadentaltn.com.
Welcome into Big Orange Sunday. Tennessee loses in Columbia, South Carolina yesterday evening, 63-61. Tennessee now 6-6 in the conference, 14-11 overall. And, of course, after this church segment, Billy the Legend will join us about 25 minutes from now. Last Sunday, I took a look at the 2020 signing class, kind of dug into that, the new players that will be coming in. And, of course, that is for next fall, for the 2020 season. Today, I'm going to take a look at the depth chart for spring practice. I want to emphasize the depth chart for spring practice. This will not involve players that are not on the depth chart for spring practice. In other words, young men coming in next fall, a couple of young men who are maybe being disciplined a little bit, So we'll look at what's going on for spring practice. We're also going to take a look at the key positions to zero in on. These are the things that I'm going to be looking at in spring. Remembering spring is about players. It's about players getting better. It's not about a team getting better. Yes, you hope a team does get a little bit better, but we know there's going to be a lot of players, a lot of these seniors that are returning for this team. It'll be seniors next fall. Trey Smith is an example. He's not going to get a lot of looks this spring. They know what he can do. They're going to find out about the younger players and some players they hope to develop in that area. We will take a look at that today. We're going to zero in on the key positions to really be watching. This team is so much better from a position standpoint, depth standpoint, and talent standpoint at many positions, but there's a couple, maybe three, that we're going to really zero in on because that's what's going to make a difference in the spring. And we're also going to take a look at some players that, if I were you, I'd keep my eye on in spring practice, players that have not played many snaps or in some instances haven't played particularly well, that have the talent, that are now older, a couple of 3 years in most instances. We're going to take a look at those today also. But first, I wanted to start with the revamped coaching staff at the University of Tennessee. You know, I've been waiting. I've kind of mentioned a few things as we go along, but I've been waiting until everything is kind of shaken out with the staff to do this segment. Quite frankly, I'm not sure everything is shaken out with the staff just right now, but I want to kind of get going on that. So here's what we know right now. I want you to just think about this. This is kind of an under-talked about, under-reported. I don't know that there's a whole lot to report on it. But the fact of the matter is, if you take a look at this staff right now, do you know that only two of the original 10 assistants remain? 10 assistant football coaches, only two remain. And that's after, well, I'm going to say only, two seasons. Now, there's some reasons for this, but believe me, it's highly unusual. 80% of your on-the-field coaching staff, the coaches that can recruit and coach on the field, are gone. Only two remain. The recruiting coordinator is gone. He's the director of football operations. That's his title. He's recruiting coordinator. And Coach Jeremy Pruitt's operations man has moved to another position. All those changes have made in 2 years after two seasons at the University of Tennessee. Now, even in today's football, that is a huge amount of turnover after two seasons. The question is why? Pretty simple. I've dug into this, looked at it very closely. We're going to talk about it just for a little bit today. For the most part, Coach Pruitt wanted change in almost every one of those positions. Yes, there were a couple of coaches that left when Coach Kelly left. He certainly left to take a job at Alabama, called defenses down there in some of the instances. But for the most part, almost every single instance, Coach Pruitt has made a change. Now, there's a couple of ways to look at this. One, why are the changes made? And two, is it a good idea to be making changes? Well, I don't know what the answer to both of those are, but I will tell you this. These are changes that Coach Pruitt wanted to make, and for the most part, I think he has made decisions on this, on what he had on the staff. There were some things that he knew needed to be fixed. Remember, he's been a head coach, had not been a head coach ever before. He's now been a head coach two seasons, And it kind of tells me a little bit, hopefully I can convey that to you, about what type of head coach this coach is going to be. Let's kind of take a look at it. Again, these are changes that he wanted to make. Let's go through the staff. Do you know that the entire defensive staff has been changed over in 2 years? The entire defensive staff, they're all gone, all five of them. Now, Coach Pruitt would be considered one of the defensive staff as of yet. He hadn't made a change in his job yet. But bottom line, why is that? Well, he knew he needed to make changes. Again, only one of those changes that have been made. We had three defensive coaches leave this year. Believe me, none of those were really fought real hard to keep. He's made some changes, and the big thing that he has done defensively, in his eyes at least, as I see it, bringing in Derek Ansley. Now, we'll talk about some of the changes and who's going to be coming in, but these are also players, or excuse me, some former players that he knew, but also coaches that he knows. So there's been a complete revamping of the defensive staff. Exact same defense, still headed up, and they're doing everything that Coach Pruitt wants to do. I've talked enough about Derek Ansley. Coach Pruitt certainly knows him. They coach the same style. Everything they've been together, had been together for so very, very long. But that whole defensive staff has been changed. On the offensive side of the ball, pretty much the same thing. The only two coaches that are still on this staff of the original 10 assistants, Will Friend is still the offensive line coach. That's it. Now, Brian Niedermeyer, who is the tight end coach, has moved to the inside linebacker job. That is a position bump for him, a good position. Not only did he get a good pay raise, but you can just tell by this simple move alone what Coach Pruitt's feeling is about Brian Niedermeyer. Yes, he has done an excellent job of recruiting. But it's even more than that. He believes he can coach inside linebackers, or believe me, he wouldn't be moving there. I guess one other thing that you could say, the quarterback position where Chris Winkie is coaching now, he was on the original staff as an analyst, but not a full-time coach. So where do we set right now? We'll be talking more about this in future shows. I don't want to get too far ahead of announcing things that the university hasn't announced. And I do think, and if you have read much about what's going on up there, that there are a couple of changes that have been filled. It looks like Jimmy Brumbaugh, who was a defensive lineman at Auburn, highly thought of, excellent recruiter, excellent coach, has taken Rocker's place. It looks like Shelton Felton, who was a quality control and the original staff for Coach Pruitt, the 2008 staff, is back as outside linebacker coach. Looks like Niedermeyer's inside linebacker coach, as we mentioned. I'm not sure all those things are set in stone, and here's the reason why I say that. The change, there hasn't been an official announcement on Felton nor Brumbaugh from the University of Tennessee. Now, why is that? Normally, they make official announcements. Well, there's some reason for it. I still have a feeling that maybe there might be a little bit more moving around. I think the pieces are all in place as far as who the coaches are going to be. But I still think the staff may be moved around a little bit. One of the things that I'll be watching very closely is on the offensive side of the ball. Let me just say this about here's what I know about Coach Pruitt and what he feels about his two coordinators. He is highly happy with both coordinators, Ansley and Chaney. Jim Chaney has come in. Coach Pruitt's mentioned this more than once to me. He didn't know a whole lot about Jim Chaney other than coaching against him. Highly happy, if that's a good term, with what Coach Chaney has done and what he will do. So I don't want anybody to misunderstand what I'm saying about this staff and the changes. 80%, 8 out of 10 of your coaches are gone on the field coaches after 2 years. It's a positive. At least in Coach Pruitt's mind, it's a positive. A couple of them left because of other reasons. But I think the biggest thing, probably, if you really dig down into it, is a little bit of on-the-field coaching, yes, but more so, he wanted to upgrade and get better in the recruiting aspect of it. The staff has done a good job recruiting. I think his feeling is they can do even better. And now, whether those were exactly everything that went into all these things, I'm not exactly sure of. Anyway, looks like the staff is filled. Looks like everybody's in place. I do think, again, there may be some movement around. Jim Chaney is the wild card here. in that he can coach any position on offense. He was a walking coordinator last year for the first time. Had always been a quarterback coach, had coached offensive line early in his career. And from what I'm hearing now, that may be the same. I thought at one point that it would kind of make sense for him to coach the quarterback room. Not sure that's going to happen now. And primarily because it's Coach Chaney. If it doesn't happen, it's going to be because Coach Chaney feels like he is better moving around and helping coach at other positions. I'll try to keep you updated on that. So that's kind of where we are right now. Let's talk about the spring depth chart. Wanted to hit that today. Again, we'll do our church segment, and then Bill Justice will join us. About 25, the segment will be over about 25 after, and we'll get it with Bill about the 8:30 time slot. As I mentioned, last week we looked at the signing class. Let's look at the depth chart now. Again, we're going to be talking about players who are going to be out there for spring. Nobody coming in next fall or nobody that's suspended that's not on the team right now. Four 2020 early enrollees come in. We got a couple of quarterbacks coming in. We got a center coming in, and we got a defensive tackle coming in. Dominic Bailey at defensive tackle, Cooper Mays at center, Jimmy Holiday and Harrison Bailey at quarterback. I'll get into that quarterback room in just a second, but it is a very crowded room right now, and that means that there's going to be an excellent situation now to really see what these young men can do. I believe, I know this, all of the quarterbacks that'll be on the team next year are there this spring. Now, there may be one or two. My suspicion is after spring practice, we're going to have a quarterback or two leave. Only makes sense if you look at what happens in today's college football. Jimmy Holiday in, Harrison Bailey. Harrison Bailey is the hand-picked player that Jeremy Pruitt wants at quarterback. That's the best I can tell you right there. In his years here, this is a young man that he has identified. I've watched him, and you may have watched him a little on the huddle tape too, strong arm. But there's obviously things about this quarterback that they like because essentially that's who they're bringing in to be the quarterback. Now, Jimmy Holiday is a young man who's coming in. I'm glad he's going to be there. As you've heard me say, I watched a lot of his tape. He is a talented athlete. Certainly he can play quarterback. I don't think when it's all said and done, he will probably be, that'll be his singular position because I think he's too talented. He can do too many things with the ball in his hands. He's got exceptional speed, exceptional quickness. He's a tough player. Looks like a very heady and smart player. But again, we're going to have an idea to see what he can do after spring practice because he's going to be there. Cooper Mays at center. Right now, who would the backup center be on this team? Well, it's probably going to be Carvin. Maybe another player or two. We know that Kennedy's going to be the starter in that position. But so Cooper Mays is going to get a good shot there. And I think maybe a couple of these other players that were there, freshmen that were there last year, that redshirt will have an opportunity there. Jackson Lampley is another that might get a look there. But the good thing is a lot of players on that position going to be able to come out of this spring. You know that Trey Smith's not going to get a lot of reps. You know that in all likelihood, Brandon Kennedy's not going to get a whole lot of reps. They've been there forever. They know what to do. They're going to find out what these other players can do, and that's a really neat situation to be in. So you got four early enrollees. We've got two transfers coming in. We know that Velus Jones Jr., the wide receiver who's a grad transfer, will be eligible next fall, so they'll get a chance to get a good look at him, remembering T. Martin helped recruit him and coached him at Southern Cal, so obviously he knows what his abilities are. And then Cade Mays. He's the transfer, undergrad transfer from Georgia. We know his situation there. I was told this past week, and I asked specifically about this, and kind of putting it the way I was told, Cade Mays' situation is different than D'Angelo Gibbs' situation last year. Both of them coming from Georgia. It is a very different situation. I didn't ask exactly what the difference was. D'Angelo Gibbs had to sit out last fall. I never did get a feeling one way or the other after talking about this with the university athletic department exactly where they felt the Cade Mays situation was, except to say this. I don't think they'd be surprised at all if he was eligible to play. And they probably wouldn't be surprised if he wasn't. That's kind of where it is right now. almost everything, the ball in the court on this thing right now is in the Mays family and the University of Georgia. I'll just leave it at that. So that's six players. Now, we also got here's some other good news if you just sit back and look at what this team is going to look like this spring. Emma Gooden, who had to miss all last year because of injury, he'll be a redshirt senior. He's back going into last spring. He was, if not the best defensive lineman, one of the top two or three. He's back for his senior year, a redshirt senior. D'Angelo Gibbs, I mentioned, he'll be a redshirt junior. He set out last year. He will either be a wide receiver. I think he'll start there. Some people have him penciled in that that's the only position he's going to play. I don't believe that at all because he's also was a safety at Georgia. And the safety position on this team right now on the defensive side of the ball is not a real solid position. There's a little fluidity going back there. Probably know who one of them's going to be, McCullough. We're not exactly sure who the other one's going to be. The great thing about having guys like D'Angelo Gibbs and other players that we'll be talking about, they played multiple positions. They can play offense. They can play defense. So I suspect that Gibbs is going to start on offense, but I wouldn't rule him out on the defensive side of the ball. Brandon Johnson, wide receiver, redshirt senior. Again, another young man who redshirted last year. He's back in that receiving core. If you just remember back, he did some very good things his first couple of years at Tennessee. So those kind of players. So what we have is we got four early enrollees, two transfers, and then three players who did not play last year who are back who have played previously and have very good backgrounds. I'm going to leave Jeremy Banks alone. I'll just tell you what my belief is. If you've listened to me over the past year, you probably know this. I don't know if he's going to be out at spring or not. He's not on the roster right now. I do believe this. Unless something blows up here in the next month or two, I do believe Jeremy Banks will be back on this team as an inside linebacker. I've thought that for a long time. Nobody on the Hill's saying anything about this because they have things in place to handle this if it gets to that point. But the gut feeling I have right now, and I've had it for quite a while, is that he's still in school, and some people misconstrue this. He's still on scholarship. Just because he was dismissed from the team, you still retain that scholarship for a full year. So he's still on scholarship. He's still counted against the University of Tennessee. He's just not with the football program right now. All right, let's hit a couple of other things here. I'm going to try to get through these. If not, we'll carry them on next week. Key positions to watch for this spring. All right, I'm not going to talk about quarterback. Obviously, that is a key position. We've talked about that ad nauseum. Everybody knows the situation there. I will say this. Every quarterback that will have the potential to play next year will be in spring practice. So they're going to have plenty of opportunities to watch them. But the key position to me is the outside and inside linebacker position, other than quarterback. To'o, Peterson, Beasley, Crouch, Harrison. Five sophomores. We've watched them play. They are all talented. To'o, the leader of that group. But listen, those other four players, Harrison and Crouch, will start at the outside linebacker position. But there's five sophomores for three positions. These guys are going to play a lot of football if healthy. They're going to all be excellent contributors in the kicking game because they can all run. They've been recruited for these positions. Beasley could move to the nickel or star back, but I don't think so. One other player there, and this is a young man that really came along at the end of the year. He's going to be one of you guys I'll talk about before I stop this segment about watching next year. Kevon Bennett, redshirt junior. If you watched him play that outside linebacker position, he got better and better and better. And at the end of the year, I thought he was playing the outside linebacker position as well as Daryl Taylor was. We'll kind of see on that. All right, so that's the key position for me to watch. Other key positions on the defensive side of the ball, you have three seniors. Outside linebacker, Daryl Taylor, three seniors at left. Daniel Batuli, inside linebacker, and safety, Nigel Warrior. So we're losing a player at all three levels of the defense. Up front, defensive line and Taylor, linebacker and Batuli, and back in the back, safety, Nigel Warrior. The outside linebacker position to me is probably going to get down to Bennett, Crouch, Harrison. I just mentioned those. Talented players. Can run, can hit you, have ability. I would say Bennett probably has the inside position there. And the inside linebacker position. All right, we know To'o, and I just mentioned some of the others. I'm assuming that it's probably going to be Peterson's going to be in there along with Beasley. At the safety position, there's a little question mark there. Theo Jackson's a senior. Flowers is back. He's been injured. Then a question mark. We know McCullough is going to be there. McCullough ended up playing exceptionally well at the safety position at the end of the season. Can Gibbs be there? Well, I already mentioned that. On the offensive side of the ball, the key positions are tight end. We lose Wood Anderson and wide receiver. Of course, we lose Jennings and we lose Callaway. So as you look at those key positions, those are the positions that are really going to get extra scrutiny from me, at least. And I think the coaches also, they're going to be looking at everything on this defensive, on defense and offense in spring practice. All right. As we end up the church segment, some players you might want to keep your eye on. Here's some young men. I try to pick the, even when I was coaching, you know who the players you want to see get better. But I'm going to give you seven players, just kind of outside looking in to watch. And again, we know the Trey Smiths, we know the defensive line, we know the guys that are going to be playing, you know, Jarrett Garantano, quarterback. But here's some guys to really keep your eye on that I've heard some good things from this staff about. Number one, Jacob Warren. Redshirt sophomore. He's a tight end from right there in Knoxville. He was an H-back more. He has really come on, and they are expecting big things out of Jacob Warren. We haven't heard his name mentioned much. We know the tight end, H-back, is a position right now that's going to need to be upgraded. At that same position, Princeton Fant. He's a young man from right here in Laverne, been injured a lot. If you notice, number 88 at the end of the season, he was on the field in the bowl game in the last couple of games because he was healthy. He has a chance to take that next step, I believe, to become a fine football player in that H-back and tight end position. He's an excellent special teams guy. Aaron Beasley, we've talked about, sophomore, came in as a defensive back. He's from down in Georgia. He'll be a linebacker in all likelihood, could play the nickel or the star position. Talented, can run. They've been very high on him, but he's learning a new position. Want to keep an eye on him. Kenny Solomon, out running track now. Kenny Solomon, we haven't heard much about. You know, he played, I think, in every game last year, if not almost everyone, as a special teams player covering kicks. He is, if not the fastest guy on the team, he is one of them. He's the first upgrade to speed that this staff brought in a year ago. I want to see what Kenny Solomon can do. I believe he can be a really, really good defensive back, maybe better than really good, just needs some experience over there. And he can run, and talk about a guy that has the speed to be able to play man-to-man coverage all over the field. That's the type of guy you're looking for. Elijah Simmons, we know about him, redshirt freshman from Pearl Cone. This is a team that's going to have seven seniors at the three positions up front. Elijah Simmons redshirted last year. He will be certainly that nose tackle position. Want to see what he can do. I think he's got a tremendously bright future there if he stays healthy. I've mentioned D'Angelo Gibbs, and I've mentioned Bennett. So those are the seven players that I really want to watch this spring. Kind of closing up on the church segment, Bill will be on with us when we come back. Again, hitting that staff thing again. Coach, I think, has everything set. I think he does, as far as the coaches, but they haven't been officially announced. Now, why haven't they been officially announced? That's the thing that I am questioning, and I'm only saying this for this reason. I think the reporting on this is accurate. I'm not sure Coach Pruitt knows exactly, and maybe there's some other things he's looking at, where he may move some of these coaches around. They can coach a lot of different positions. I don't know that that's set right now. I don't know that it is set either. But there's a reason why these haven't been officially announced by the university. Maybe it's a contract situation. I don't know. Bottom line, this is, I know from talking to too many folks up there, he being Coach Pruitt, extremely high on the staff that he has at present. And those are the key things. We'll try to update you more on as we go through spring. A lot of off-season work going on right now. Coach Fitzgerald. This is a team that returns a group that has an opportunity to be a pretty fine football team next year. Just got to fill in a few places and get a little bit stronger. But from a depth perspective, you got to love for this head coach and this staff has this team just from a pure depth perspective after two seasons up on the hill. All right, Bill Justice, when we come back, and I'll talk to you about Mid-10 Ford. Hey, if you're a truck person, you're probably a Ford truck person. And if you're a Ford truck person, you most assuredly are a Mid-10 Ford truck person. 50-plus years, the Boyd family, still family-owned by the Boyd family, has been running this outstanding organization. And when it comes to trucks and SUVs, nobody does it better. Lightweight trucks, small trucks, big trucks. I'm driving a Ford Ranger from there right now. Absolutely love it. You need your car worked on? $1 million in parts at all one time, at any one time in their parts department. I say automobiles and trucks. Collision center, work on anything you need a collision center to do. Paint, 65-foot paint group. And these are people that know the truck business. They are truck people. Check them out at mid10trucks.com.
71 degrees all the way.
73 degrees, please.
So what's your perfect degree of comfort? We'll help you find it with professional Rheem HVAC service that'll keep your home comfy year-round, save on energy costs, and may qualify for utility rebates and tax credits. So enjoy a new degree of comfort.
72 degrees, and I'm good to go.
Count on Rheem to provide great service on all brands of equipment. Visit Rheem.com to locate a Rheem dealer near you.
What happens to your decision-making when you drink? Well, after one drink, you feel confident. A few more, and calling your ex at 1 a.m. seems like a great idea. And you're pretty sure the secret to a great taco is four-day-old macaroni. The bottom line, drunk you doesn't make great decisions. So you're risking a DUI or worse if you count on him to get you home. Plan before you party. Get home safe. Paid for by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office.
I don't know much about tires other than the fact that I need four of them to drive around. I do, however, know Bruce Rather at Tire World, and when my car needs tires and alignment, an oil change, or a problem diagnosed, Bruce gets a call from me. For 35-plus years, Tire World has been a staple in Rutherford County. They have locations in Murfreesboro, Smyrna, Laverne, and Chapel Hill. So for most any kind of tires at great prices, go see Bruce at Tire World. And look them up at tireworld.us.
At Lazy Boy Furniture Gallery, you'll be blown away by the huge selection of Lazy Boy recliners in fabric and leather, but also by the sofas, sleep sofas, sectionals, and motion upholstery. And if you need help designing an entire room around Lazy Boy furniture, we've got a home design program, and we'll come to your house and put it all together free. I'm Mike Keith, encouraging you to check out any of the three area Lazy Boy Furniture Galleries, Cool Springs, Hendersonville, and now in Murfreesboro at Medical Center Parkway in front of Embassy Suites.
Sports fans, this is Lucy Bartorf with Frederick and Clark Realty. If you're thinking of buying or selling a home in the Middle Tennessee area, you need an experienced agent. For over two decades, I have worked with people just like you, helping navigate both buyers and sellers in this aggressive market. New neighborhoods are springing up all over. Traffic concerns are so important. That's where my experience can help. Contact Lucy Bartorf of Frederick and Clark Realty at iSellNashvilleRealEstate.com.
Improve your home or business and save big at Stover's Liquidation. Super thick 12-millimeter laminate, tons of styles in stock for only 79 cents per square foot. Luxury vinyl plank flooring, gigantic. Selection starting at just 49 cents per square foot. Hardwood flooring, Stover's Liquidation has it. Huge quantities starting at just 99 cents per square foot. Save on appliances, cabinets, HVAC units, and all kinds of products you use every day. Stover's Liquidation, Antioch, Cookeville, and Oak Ridge. Shop online anytime at stoversliquidation.com. Stover's.
The 3HL breaks down the breads with Matt Duchesne. Presented by Two Rivers Ford. Every Wednesday at 3:30 on 104.5 The Zone. Now, Big Horn Sunday continues with a complete breakdown of Vols basketball from Bill Justice. Presented by Wilson Bank and Trust, Middle Tennessee's community bank.
Billy. I'm just going to tell you what I thought at the end of that ball game. Actually, watching the whole game, you could have swapped jerseys, swapped ends of the bench, and you had about the same team on both sides of the court, I think. What's your thoughts?
Tennessee was just, 20 turnovers, a sloppy game. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay, and you can't overcome that. We had 28, 20 turnovers. completely failed at the free throw line, 17 out of 28. And some of those came on the front end of the 1-1, so it takes another point off the board that you could make. So, and you know, and still, amazingly, they have a shot at the buzzer to send it to overtime. So, with a very sloppy game on the road against South Carolina, they still had a chance to win. This is kind of where this team is. I think they have tremendous future upside, but right now, if you look at a key figure, I like to look at is game by game, what is the point spread for Tennessee over opponents? And it's like, you know, the whole season they are averaging maybe 2 or 3 points more than the opponents. If you look at the ranked teams in the top 10, top 20, you'll see 15, 16, 17 point spreads between that team and the opponent. So Tennessee is a very level team with about half of the Southeastern Conference. Having said that, yesterday two more teams got beat that were at the top of the list. It is now Kentucky all alone at 10-2.
Well, Bill, and that it was kind of what I was thinking about as I was watching the game yesterday, of some things that you said primarily on the Saturday show, but also on this show, how many teams are just where this team is, having a hard time scoring. You know, you look at it statistically, free throws you mentioned, Tennessee a little over 60%, South Carolina under 60%. Three-point shooting, right at 30% for both, and field goals, 40% and 42%. So they had a bunch of turnovers, too. It's just a sloppy game, but I say a sloppy game. Maybe both these teams make you look like you're playing a little
bit
sloppy.
Well, you know, you're exactly right. One of the things, no question about it, that South Carolina is a very physical team. They always have been. Frank Martin's teams are going to be tough and aggressive on defense. They're going to keep the opponents out of the shooting zone where it's comfortable. They're going to foul you, and you got to make free throws. Tennessee did not do that. But, yes, they are a team that plays with a lot of physicality. They're going to be all over you, all over the floor. All you got to do is watch him on the sideline, the way he coaches. I don't know what it is he's saying to his players, but I'll tell you what, he will get in their face. Very, very aggressive team, and you got to stay with them if you're going to do that. And Coach Barnes pointed out pregame that, you know, South Carolina operates at a very fast pace, faster than usual. There are some statistics on that nationally, and they are the 30th fastest team in the NCAA. And Coach Barnes said, you know, we're up tempo as well. When I see them at shoot-arounds, when I've been with them on the road, they regularly practice running half-court offense with a 7-second clock just to get used to moving the ball quickly.
You know, you mentioned Coach Martin. I remember watching him when he was at Kansas State. I would say this, a player that's playing for him would have to have what my grandmother used to say, a pretty strong constitution, because he's going to challenge you.
Absolutely.
He's going to challenge you on that. You know what, though? His players seem to respond to him. So, anyway, interesting. I don't know how many folks out there have read his story. He has an interesting story. Forget about the coaching part of it, growing up and everything. But I like the way I like his style on that. Bill, let's just hit the inconsistency part of it. It was just earlier in the week where Tennessee maybe played their best game in the conference this year as far as consistency goes. And then you turn around, what, 3 or 4 days later, and that's the mark of an inconsistent team. And you and I have discussed this before. I can tell you from a football coaching perspective, there's nothing coaches hate worse than inconsistency, because you really don't know what you're going to get from one game to the next.
You know, and it's called finding your level of fineness, and that is F-I-N-E, fineness, and playing to that level every day. And that's what they attempt to do through practices and you know, repetitive things of their offense. Free throw shooting, obviously, we talk about that. I'm a constant, persistent guy on that, because somewhere around 20 to 22% of your points come from the free throw line. Do you spend that much time practicing your free throws? Well, you ought to during the off season, especially. So those are the type of things that win games, consistency in each area.
Let's talk about the good. John Fulkerson continues to be, you said he's the best player on the team from a playing standpoint. I don't think there's much arguing that. Here we are, what, 23 games into the season.
Career best, 25 yesterday. Yves Fons came in with 13, and yes, he did have a couple of blocks again. Fulky needs some consistent help. He can't do it alone. Other teams are starting to clog up on his left-hand side because they know that's the way he wants to roll. And they caused a couple of turnovers on him yesterday. He had a charge or two, but he still played a great game. He just has to have some help. You know, they did not get it yesterday. Bowden had another bad day, 1-for-7. He was 1-for-17 in the first game, so he shot 8% for the year on South Carolina. You can't win with that. Muscovy had an off night, 2-for-8 and 4 turnovers, back to not taking care of the basketball. So Fulke needs some help. He's got to have consistent help, and it needs to come from the perimeter players. It's got to come from the guards.
Going to try something new, go back to what we did a little bit of last year. Phone calls for Bill Justice, basketball only, questions only, please. 615-737-1045. We'll be right back with Bill Justice talking Big Orange basketball. You know, American Home Design still have their winter sale going on. It did turn a little bit winter this past week. Save $500 up to $1,500 on all of their products, anything that they sell. And, of course, the workmanship there, just outstanding. How do I know? Well, I've had 3 different things done to my home. My wife and I have had all the windows replaced. We've had all the patio doors and entry doors replaced over a 3-year period. And the workmanship, I can just tell you this, exceptional. They come in, they measure, they bring it in, they get it installed. Wouldn't even know they're there if you hadn't seen that they were there. So if you're looking to redo any part of your home, maybe you're like me, you'd had your home about 30 years. I had built mine 30 years ago. Needed some work done to kind of refurbish a few things. You can call them at 615-361-6100. You can go online at AmericanHomeDesign.com. But better yet, stop up and see that beautiful showroom, 880 Conference Drive in Goodlettsville, and make sure you take advantage of the winter sale still ongoing, $500 to $1,500 at American Home Design.
Hi, I'm Dwayne Hardy, President Forklift Systems. Thanks for another incredible year. Business is booming, and we seek exceptional people in Indiana, Kentucky, Tennessee, and Alabama. Recent customer feedback said, "It's refreshing to deal with a company of integrity with people you trust. It brightens my day when I call your office. Your response is fast. You're easy to do business with." If that sounds like you, email me your resume to careers@forkliftsystems.com.
Luna Custom Homes is now building in the Grove. If you're contemplating building in the Grove, my buddy Jay Luna would love the opportunity to meet and talk with you. Jay believes in the Grove. In fact, he has made the Grove the primary location for Luna Custom Homes. In addition to the Grove, if you're looking for something closer to downtown Franklin, well, the Arlington on West Main is just the ticket. 10 one-level residencies just 2 blocks from Starbucks. The Grove and the Arlington, all from Luna Custom Homes. 50 years building top-quality homes in Williamson County.
What if I told you that 15 minutes on a new fitness technology called Mandu would produce the same strength and fitness results as 6 to 8 hours of lifting weights? EMS, or electrical muscle stimulation, has been popular for years in Europe, and after recent approval from the FDA, it's being offered to Middle Tennesseans. Mandu uses a small electrical current to tighten and strengthen your muscles as you perform a series of flexing and stretching moves. Get all the information on this new exciting technology at Mandu.com. MANDUU.com.
Looking for a place for a gathering? Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers are great for birthday and corporate parties, fundraising events, and all types of group activities and reunions. Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers offer bowling, games, food, drink, and entertainment for all ages. For more information, you can visit them online at strikeandspare.com or see them in any of their 5 Middle Tennessee or 3 Knoxville area locations. Plus, all locations have their own Facebook page and are open 7 days a week, including holidays. There's never a bad time for a good time at Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers.
When it comes to home field advantage, the 2 words you need to know are Neyland Stadium. And when you're talking dental insurance advantage, the 2 words to know are Delta Dental. And no is sure to bring a smile to your face, as in no hassles, no surprises, no special ID cards required. Want to know more? Visit them online at DeltaDentalTN.com. Delta Dental of Tennessee. Dental made simple.
This is Doug Matthews.
And this is Dave McGinnis.
We both know a little bit about the X's and O's of football.
But when it came to understanding the gaps not covered by Medicare, we turned to our friends at Farm Bureau Health Plans.
They can coach you through the ABCs of Medicare.
Did you know Medicare doesn't cover everything?
You still have to pay co-insurance and deductibles, and Medicare doesn't cover prescription drugs, dental, or vision.
And that's why you've always got the home field advantage with Farm Bureau Health Plans.
To find out more and how to enroll, just go to Farm Bureau Health Plans at FBHealthPlans.com. Bills.com.
Whether your sport is football, hockey, basketball, baseball, golf, or racing, we talk about it here. The Sports Station, 104.5 The Zone.
Detailed analysis of the orange and white.
This is Big Orange Sunday,
presented by Delta Dental.
Bill Justice with us. Again, we're talking ball, basketball. Tennessee loses in South Carolina, Columbia last night, yesterday evening. 14-11 now, Bill. 6-6 in the Southeastern Conference. We discussed this a little bit on yesterday's show. There's a lot of teams right around that 6-6, 5-7, 7-5 mark. And again, as you mentioned yesterday, you got tough for almost every team to win in this league right now consistently.
A lot of parity. I mean, you know, and this is true all across the nation. We've talked about this all year about how many teams there are that could possibly make it deep into March Madness, and no doubt there's a lot of balance. Yesterday alone, 8 teams in the top 25 lost to unranked teams. So, you know, from number 5 to number 25, you had 8 different teams that lost a game playing against a team that is not ranked. So a lot of balance, and that's what's going to make the postseason a lot of fun, both here in Bridgestone and on into the National.
One thing that you mentioned yesterday, I think you might have mentioned it before too, is oftentimes when we get to the SEC tournament, there's a few teams, maybe more than a few, that know they're going to get in, and you know how far do you advance and all that. This year, though, there's going to be a premium on, as you were mentioning, tournament wins this year to be able to get maybe another couple of teams into the tournament.
Well, one of the things that the coaches in those mid-level and even lower-level teams in the SEC say, going into the tournament, okay, this is a start over. We still have a chance to get to the NCAA tournament. Even though we didn't win the conference and we didn't have a 500 record, if we win the SEC tournament, we get an automatic entrance into the NCAA. So it's a reset button for the teams that have not done well, and believe me, that's the message. And those teams come hungry trying to make it into the tournament because they won't get there any other way.
Let's get to a few phone calls. Sterling joins us for Bill Justice. Sterling, take over.
All right. Thank you, Coach. How are you all doing as far as the Tennessee Volunteers? I guess holding our breath every day. But I have a couple of points I wanted to try and make real quick and a question about it. I've been watching Bowden in the whole SEC time, and he makes so many mental mistakes, and he's so uptight. And in that game against South Carolina, he went and charged in to try and get a rebound where that guy made the three-point play, and he was away from guarding him. I just don't see why you don't. I realize he's got some defensive skill, but why don't you just go on and bench him, put Johnson in, have a starting lineup of James, and get James to start driving on the ball and taking 10-foot shots. I just think they've got to change that and get rid of Bowden as far as a regular starter. And I'll just see what you have to say about that. And I can and put Johnson in and just have basically Pons, Fulkerson, James, Viscani, and Johnson. Because Viscani, even if he has an off game, he's a great passer. And he ought to be able to set up James. I'll talk to you, let you go on that.
Bill, before you, let me just hit that real quickly. I think that's a question a lot of people have. I wanted to approach it from this standpoint, though. I always find this kind of humorous where I read or hear, first off, Rick Barnes knows what he's doing. If he did not believe, he doesn't have Bowden out there because he just wants to put him out there. Obviously, he thinks he gives him the best chance of winning. But just some pretty good – just looking at SEC statistics right now, and if you take a look at them, Bowden is shooting under 15% from the three-point line. What are you seeing there? And something Sterling was talking about, how would you answer those?
Okay, in terms of putting him on the bench and putting somebody else in, just like you said, Coach Barnes knows who can play and who should be in there. I think the biggest thing that we can say about Bowden this year is he is uptight because he is not a point guard. When they lost their point guard and he was shoved into that position, he's just not a point guard. He is a two guard. And for him to come in and run the offense, I think it's made him uptight as a player. And I think that Tennessee has really struggled to find a person that can operate and run the perfect offense for them at that point position. I think that's the biggest problem with him is trying to be a point guard when he isn't one.
I guess Vescovi, that's the reason that they tried to work him into that position. He's the one guy that appears that he can play that position.
Upside for him is tremendous. I love the way he plays. He even gives you a little bit of a Pistol Pete look on his passes every once in a while for the senior citizens around who remember that. He's going to be a great player. They have got players on there that have unlimited potential in years forward, and Coach Barnes is great at developing those players. It just hasn't happened this year. Coming after last year's success and what we had, it's just almost impossible to fill the spots of those four guys who are all still playing pro basketball.
A couple of guys you've talked about a lot. Let's go and start with Josiah Jordan James back playing. He played 30 minutes, three quarters of the game. What did you see there yesterday?
I like his potential. I think he's going to, at some point, be a guy that can play that point guard position. He came in as a very highly recruited player, and putting a guy in there like that right from high school into the SEC, if you're a guard, you have a hard time adjusting. It's a little easier if you're a back-to-the-basket big guy who can use length and weight and power and strength inside. It's a little harder to do on the outside, but I think his upside is really good.
Jim from Mount Juliet, hang on there. We're going to take our last break. We'll come back. We'll get to you and more phone calls when we come back with Bill Justice. Double Dogs, DoubleDogs, Double Dogs. It's about dogs, as a matter of fact. I thought it was about hot dogs when I first heard Dan Davis tell me about this company that he was starting, a restaurant, but it's really about a couple of dogs, two dogs, his dogs. Bottom line is this, it's a great place to eat. It's a family-oriented sports bar. I've been to three or four of them around. He's got two here in Middle Tennessee, Hillsborough Village right here down the road near Vanderbilt-Belmont area, and, of course, out off of Charlotte Pike over in the hospital area over in that area. As I mentioned, it's family-oriented. You can take your whole family in there. 30-plus TVs in all locations. If there's a sport on that you want to see that's carried anywhere on any of the networks or cable, they can have it on there for you. All you got to do is ask. They got great food. You're a salad person? Great. I'm not much of a salad person when I go to Double Dogs. I like their burgers. I like their sandwiches. I like their pizza. Mac and cheese, five different signature mac and cheese dishes, five different hot dog dishes. And, of course, they got those great milkshakes. I'm a little partial to the chocolate, but, hey, I understand if folks want something else. DoubleDogs.biz. Check out their location. Stop by and see them. Great place to go. I try to stop by there about once a week and have lunch. Great evening meals also. Hillsborough Village, Charlotte Pike, all their locations. You can find out about them at DoubleDogs.biz.
At Wilson Bank and Trust, our game plan in the community includes supporting our local schools on the gridiron and in the classroom. When it comes to buying or improving your home, we can help your family with those game plans too. From personal loans to mortgages, our lending experts are with you every step of the way. Let us help you get your financial game plan together at wilsonbank.com or any of our 28 Middle Tennessee locations. Wilson Bank and Trust, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Looking for a wow experience in upscale dining? Welcome to Stony River Steakhouse and Grill. You know us for our certified Angus beef brand steaks, but we're much more. Stony River is a neighborhood restaurant featuring fresh seafood entrees and made from scratch cuisine, complemented by handcrafted cocktails and award-winning wine list. All this to savor in a warm, rich ambiance. Stony River Steakhouse and Grill on West End in Nashville and Galleria Boulevard in Franklin.
There are a lot of physical therapists in Tennessee, and you don't want to go to a therapist. You want to choose the therapist that is right for you. This is Charles Davis. I had injuries in my playing days and valued the importance of a quality rehab program. I know and trust these folks, which is why I would choose Star when in Tennessee, and you should too. Their clinicians have world-class advanced training to make them great mechanics of the human body and to get you better fast. Find a Star location near you at starpt.com.
I'm Hunter Thrasher at Tressler & Associates PLLC. I believe in providing top-notch legal service to my clients by blending old-school customer service and attention to detail with the most up-to-date ideas and technology. My goal as your attorney is to turn a one-off transactional relationship into a trusted, all-encompassing partnership and general counsel role. My firm's motto is securing your peace of mind. To contact me, you can reach me at TresslerAssociates.com. That's TresslerAssociates.com.
The reason that Walker Chevrolet has been around for as long as they have has more to do with their attitude than anything else. And that attitude is that Walker Chevrolet isn't number one. Their customers are number one. It's service and Walker's ability to match their customers with what they want. From sales to service, Walker's trained staff look out for what has kept them serving Franklin and the surrounding communities for 92 years. The customer, Walker Chevrolet. Franklin, exit 65 off I-65 and walkerchevrolet.com.
Want more? More content from 104.5 The Zone? Head to our website and click on the podcast page for original podcasts, on-demand audio, and your favorite shows.
Get the best
from The Wake Up Zone, Midday 180, 3HL, and The Big Six.
Plus, check out originals
like Paul Kuharsky Elsewhere,
Step One Learn Sports,
The Pop Six,
The Strike Zone,
The Ultimate Tennessee Podcast,
and more.
Subscribe to our podcast feeds for Apple and Google Play, Stitcher, and Spotify to have them download straight to your smartphone. Check it out now, 1045thezone.com/podcast.
Big Orange Sunday continues, presented by Delta Dental, online at deltadentaltn.com.
We're back on Big Orange Sunday. Again, next week I'm going to be taking a look a little bit more in depth at the pre-spring depth chart. Who's there? I think we'll have a little bit more clarification on exactly, I think we know pretty much now, but an official announcement from the University of Tennessee Athletic Department on who's going to be coaching and where they're going to be coaching, what positions. Let's get back to some phone calls for Bill Justice. Jim in Mount Juliet. Jim, go ahead.
Yes, Mr. Justice and Mr. Matthews, I want to first say that y'all were great players. Bill, when I was 12, I was Bill Justice whenever we played in the backyard. I just loved y'all. Mr. Justice, I just wanted to ask you what you think the newcomers are going to bring to this team, because personally I feel like we do just need someone or somebody that can come in and be a take charge player.
Yeah, we're going to talk about this later. Jim, Tennessee's got a top five recruiting class coming in for next year, and if you look at them size-wise, Jim and Doug, these guys are 6'5", 6'6", and they're perimeter players. It is extremely important for Tennessee to develop even more inside players for next year. Plavsic, Pons, of course, and continuing with Fulke to be inside, because Tennessee's got some really high-class outside players coming in next year. They'll be right back up there as a team to contend for championships in the SEC with the Kentuckys and the rest of the people in the SEC, I think, next year.
Bill, what are they calling you? 3J, they call him?
Yeah, 3J.
What have you I know there's been a little talk when he came in, too. He is one of those players coming in that you would think would have an opportunity to be one done. Have you seen enough of him to see if you think that is a possibility this year?
It's no possibility. No, I don't think he maybe we'll test the water and maybe they'll look and see, but I just don't think that you have seen enough of him as an advanced player. What would his position be? He is working his way to be a point guard, a one guard in the college SEC standard level, and he is okay there, but not great. And he would be by no means a chance to be a point guard, and he's not a two guard. He certainly is not a shooter from a forward position. So he's got to train himself at the point guard, and he's got to continue to improve. If he can, and if he does, he's going to give Tennessee a great 6'5 backcourt guy that will be very tough to stop.
Let's get another phone call or two. Bob from out in Bellevue joins us for Bill Justice. Bob?
Good morning. I was wondering, what record does it take Tennessee to have to get into the NIT?
Great. I don't know that that's as much a record thing. Certainly, you would think they need to be above 500 on their overall record, and it would help if they could continue to be even, at least on their SEC. Their SEC schedule coming up is extremely tough. They've got a tough road ahead of them. They've got Vanderbilt this week. They won handily over Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt's schedule is tough, and their roster has been depleted. But then they've got to go to Auburn, they've got to go to Arkansas, they've got to play Florida at home, and then they've got Kentucky at Kentucky. So they finish up in a very tough schedule, Doug. 6-6 right now. I think, boy, if they could come out at 500, they would have a chance to get in the NIT.
And Bill, you have in the past, we know this, very hard. Let's talk about the NCAA tournament. It's not often that a team gets in that has a losing record in their conference play.
No chance unless they win a conference tournament. Right. I don't know that it's ever been done. I don't think they would.
So, excuse me. I wanted to ask you just one last thing. Euros Private yesterday, only 2 minutes of playing time. A little surprising to you or no?
No, it is. It's surprising that they see things in practice and in their workouts that are things we don't see. And I think maybe sometimes they look at other people's rosters to see what they need to do. He is a key member of this team going forward. We've talked about his size. He is a true 7-footer. And if he can become a guy who is dangerous back to the basket over both shoulders, he would be good on offense. But I think the biggest upside for him is to be a low post rim protector, hands up, that make you shoot the ball in a little bigger, higher arch than you're used to, being a defensive stopper down low. And if he can continue to progress and be that, he would be a substantial part. That's why I think it's so key for he and Fulkerson to continue to develop, because the five-star recruiting class that they have coming in, those guys are the 6'6", 6'5", 6'7", range. They're not any 6'10", or 6'11", or 7-footers in this class.
Well, as you've mentioned, too, there's very few teams that have those type of players. You look at Kansas, they're a different team now with the way that they're playing at the big man spot in there. There's not many that have him that size, and I'm sure the development of that's going to be a big key. And I think key to remember, too, is he was not even on the team until after the first of the year, correct?
That's correct. And, you know, one other player, too, to mention in that same vein, Nick Richards at Kentucky.
Yep.
As good a player as there is in the Southeastern Conference at 6'11", and a junior, so a guy that's got some experience. He's a game changer on the inside, really a good player. I think he's a strong candidate for SEC Player of the Year.
Well, and what is so difficult, it's difficult in football when you only have 12 games, but it's even more so in basketball, because when you're playing two games a week, you do not get the developmental practice time. Yeah, you get practice time, but you're really working on game plans for who you're going to be playing, future game plans. And difficult to improve. You can do it, but it's difficult to improve from an individual perspective during the season.
During the season. Let me tell you when that starts, and you know it well. It's the same in football. It starts the first day after your last game in basketball that season. Your player development starts for the next year. Your strength and conditioning coach has a tremendous responsibility there to help guys to improve their bodies, and you work hard on the off season and come back next year much better than you were. And that's what you look for your freshmen and sophomores to do. That's what we've seen Fulkerson do. Fulkerson was not much of a player 2 years ago. Now he's the best player on the team.
Interesting. Billy, as always, thanks so much. Give us about a 20-second final thought here.
Going into this last part of the season, I think the schedule is tough for Tennessee. I think they just need to play as well as they can to continue to develop and try to reach Nashville for the tournament with a chance for the postseason play.
Thanks so much, buddy. Talk to you next week.
All right, Coach.
All right, certainly thanks to Billy for coming on, Bill Justice coming on, and Jimmy Harper is always producing this show. Hey, we'll see you next Sunday, 8 o'clock, for Big Orange Sunday, brought to you, of course, by Delta Dental of Tennessee. What